1988. 0-21. The game. Milwaukee Brewers 12, Baltimore Orioles nothing at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. 52,395 fans in attendance on Monday, April 4th, 1988. The weather, spectacular. Sunny and 70s. Hall of Famers, Orioles first baseman Eddie Murray and shortstop Cal Ripken Jr., Brewers designated hitter Paul Molitor, and center fielder Robin Yount. Game highlights. Just 4 years since they raised a World Series championship flag, the once mighty Orioles continued their years-long slide this opening day, in a game more indicative of what was to come than anyone realized. The team, which had been to the World Series 6 times in 18 years, was now coming off back-to-back losing seasons for the first time since 1960. Baltimore's offense could produce nothing against Brewers ace Teddy Higuera. When the Birds were in the field, they resembled the Bad News Bears. The defense committed 2 errors, and 4 Orioles pitchers gave up 16 hits, walked 5 batters, and hit 2 others, while the Brewers stole 4 bases off All-Star catcher Terry Kennedy. The story. For all but 2 of my 60-plus years, I have lived in the greater Washington-Baltimore area. In late 1986, I decided to accept a job at Vince McMahon's World Wrestling Federation, now World Wrestling Entertainment, in Stamford, Connecticut. Perhaps the topic for another book someday, but I digress. Kate and I packed up our 2 little boys and moved north. While the job was relatively lucrative and the work entertaining, the pangs of home pulled on us throughout our 24 months in exile. It was painful to watch the Orioles slide, knowing the negative effects a losing team had on a fragile young business like home team sports. I know what a strain it had to be on my former coworkers and friends as they tried to hold things together. We became a 2-car family in 1988, and frequently one or all 4 of us would drive up and down the East Coast for work, play, family, or, yes, opening day. I hadn't burned any bridges when I left HTS after its first 3 years and was welcome at a variety of game day social events in 1987 and 88, a source of continuity that would lead to my return in 1989. Opening day 1988 was spectacular, perfect for a family outing. Kate and I unloaded the boys and our collapsible double stroller from the back of our 1986 Colt Vista wagon and made our way to Memorial Stadium's picnic area under the scoreboard in left center field. We were HTS guests at an upbeat pregame bullpen party. Baltimore Sun writer M. Dion Thompson described an experience that could have been written any year, anywhere. A festive atmosphere swirled outside the stadium. Brass bands played show tunes. Fans milled about in search of spare tickets. Opening day, the day of hope, the day when every team is equal, the day that, perhaps more than any other, signals that winter is finally gone and spring is finally here with all its sense of renewal and possibility. The triviality of a couple of Orioles losing seasons, a front office shakeup, and a roster overhaul seemed so unimportant. Then they played the game. We didn't stay long. We could not let the kids watch this train wreck. In the Sun the next day, columnist John Eisenberg concluded a sarcastic rant with a simple statement. No, the Orioles are not as pitiful as they played yesterday. He was wrong. This band of birds was every bit as pitiful as they played on opening day. This was a team that was about to make history. The Orioles would not win a single game for more than 3 weeks. They lost their first 21 games, the longest season opening losing streak in the history of the game. The previous record was 0-13, shared by the 1904 Washington Senators and the 1920 Detroit Tigers. For all the wrong reasons, interest in the 1988 Baltimore Orioles grew daily, first locally, then nationally. There would be time later to talk about the Bash Brothers in Oakland, Jose Canseco and Mark McGuire, And then about National League MVP Kirk Gibson of the Los Angeles Dodgers en route to his historic walk-off home run in Game 1 of the World Series. But during April, there was only one story in Major League Baseball. The Baltimore Orioles. After the first week, 0-6, they fired manager Cal Ripken Sr., an emotional jolt for a team whose middle infield was anchored by his sons, Cal Jr. at shortstop and Bill at second base. Over a 5.5-year period, the Orioles' managerial carousel saw the reins pass from Weaver to Altobelli, back to Weaver to Ripken Sr., and now to Frank Robinson, a Hall of Fame player over 21 seasons, including 6 in Baltimore, where he helped lead the Orioles to the World Series 4 times. In Robinson, owner Edward Bennett Williams and general manager Roland Heemond had an experienced, successful big league manager in Cleveland in 1975 through 77 and San Francisco from 1981 to 84. So they moved him from the front office to the dugout to help stop the bleeding. The losing continued. The media frenzy grew with every loss. On April 19th, now 0-12, local disc jockey Bob Rivers vowed to stay awake and on the air until the Orioles won a game. Rivers became a national media magnet, napping only while tunes were playing. His one-man birdathon lasted 11 days. The Orioles could not escape a single national network newscast or late-night comedy show. Robinson figured, if you can't beat him, join him, during his April 21, now 0-14, appearance on CBS This Morning. The fans are really rooting for us. They're behind us. They're trying to get us out of this thing. They're doing everything they can do. I just wish they could hit, pitch, and field, but they can't. On April 25th, now 0-18, President Ronald Reagan called Robinson to express his support. He told me, "I've been accused of being a jinx by coming on opening day, but you can't blame me for this one," Robinson said then. He told me to win one for the Gipper. Tim Kirkchin, the Orioles beat reporter at The Sun in 1988, tweeted in 2018, "This date, 1988, the Orioles fall to 0-18. Next day, manager Frank Robinson confirms he received a call of support from President Reagan. Frank," he said, "I know what you're going through." Frank respectfully responds, "Mr. President, you have no idea what I'm going through." Just 14 months after showcasing on a March 1987 cover baseball's happy and proud first family, Cal Sr., Cal Jr., and Bill, Sports Illustrated brought a beleaguered Bill to the forefront once again. This time, it was with eyes closed, elbows on knees, and the barrel of his bat pressed to his forehead. The headline, 0-18, the agony of the Orioles. Just after 11 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday, April 29th, and after 258 sleepless hours, Rivers was able to go home and sleep. The streak was over. The Orioles ended it in grand fashion with homers by Eddie Murray and Cal Ripken. They clobbered 22-year-old starter Jack McDowell en route to a 9-0 victory. Baltimore's win at Chicago improved the Orioles' record to 1-21. Baseball's all-time record for consecutive losses, 23 by the 1961 Philadelphia Phillies, remained intact. There's always next year. For the box score and play-by-play, visit openingday5050.com.